podcast, episode 15 of season 2. I'm Tiz Kill, of course, and we are going to have a very, very exciting cast. Let me assure you of that. But first, before I do that, let me introduce everybody that's in this cast. First, we're going to have Kasumi from Bulba Garden.
Hello.
We have Misty also from Bulba Garden.
Hi.
We have Duchini927 of Burnstar Depths.
Hey, guys.
We have Satish Kun also from Bulba Garden.
Glad to be here.
We have PPN Steve from Pokemon Palace Network.
Hey, everyone.
And our special guest host tonight is going to be from Pocket Monsters. It's Inu Liger.
Domo arigato.
Welcome, sir. We're going to have a great cast for you tonight. Before we move on, I'm going to say that Archaic is not here because he is demoing the trading figure game at an anime convention in Brisbane. We wish him the best of luck, and hopefully he could tell us about his experience next week. Also on tap for tonight, we're going to have Movie 10 discussion, including the new ending song that was revealed a few days ago. So before we go any further, let's get to our first call, and the first call tonight will be Full Master, so let's get him right now. Hello, Full Master. Welcome to Bulbacast, episode 15 of season 2. How are you?
Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hey, guys. Hey.
How's it going?
And what's your question this week?
Okay. This is random.
Oh, man.
Random. How many filler characters do you think there's been?
Whoa.
Wow.
Do you believe in many?
I would say it's possibly, no, probably more than that. Probably, I would say
200,
maybe 250, because you have to consider that a filler character, on average, a filler character appears probably 3 times out of every 7 episodes. So if you consider that we're almost at number 500, the frequency of these filler characters are usually, I would say, between 3 out of 7. And 4 out of 9 episodes. It really depends on where the arc is, especially Johto. They had so many filler characters, I can't even count. I haven't even watched them all yet. So it's possibly larger than 200 to 300.
I don't know. It seems more to me like one filler character per episode, and then you've got some that have like 2 or 3 or 4, and of course you've got the mains.
I think
you could make a case for 400.
Even if you went with
300
to 400, two-thirds of the episodes like having filler characters. That's what, 300 and some odd episodes? Granted, a few of them make, you know, more than one appearance, more than one episode, but they're still filler characters. I mean, you still have to, even people
Ash
and the gang don't directly interact with,
and there is,
can be considered a filler character.
Very true.
Remember that there are some episodes that
what
have more than
more
just one filler character.
Like
you have to count that,
for example.
Gangbang of them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's appeared about maybe 9 or 10 times in the anime so far.
And PPN, you know I've said this before. The Magikarp salesman actually helped the plot a few times because he's the reason why Jesse has Wobbuffet.
So there,
and he's the reason why James doesn't have his victory bell anymore.
Filler characters or standing
Very
characters,
true,
what
so.
Do you want to call them, that do help move along the plot line. So they're key to the progression of the anime, even though they're not key to the overall.
They're supporting. Would it be occasional supporting guest?
Think about it. Think about it. The typical plot line for the anime, right?
Yeah,
Ash goes somewhere, finds something wrong, fixes it, and leaves, right? Well, in order for that to actually work, you do need the filler character because Ash has to meet somebody to find out what's wrong. They wouldn't have a plot without it. I mean, granted, there's contest episodes and whatnot, that where that's not needed per se, even though you do get filler characters there too. But for the basic overall plot, it's not, Ash meets somebody, battles them, or fixes something, says goodbye, and then we'll never see him again.
Exactly. So, FM, you got any more to say? And any more questions? Go right ahead.
What's the story with the TCG cards? Is it still popular, or is it less popular than it has been, or what's the story with that?
It kind of...
granted, when Wizards of the Coast gave it to Nintendo, when they acquired the trading card game, they basically took the practices of Wizards of the Coast, and they basically maintained it, which is quite surprising
to me,
considering that
the whole feel of it.
A good amount of people
after
still
they
play
got
the game
it from Wizards. I mean, yeah, at first they kept it the same, but then they gradually changed things. They added those. Right, they changed the way the cards are. They did those wet.
They want to mold it to their own custom tailor to their own needs. Oh yeah.
In any case, I remember Blontosaur made the same question a few weeks ago, and Arkek told us that the TCG is still popular. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
do talk.
And if anything, ever since Nintendo acquired it, I think maybe I'm wrong, but I think card packs have actually gotten cheaper in price too, which is probably helping sales. But then again, I don't know if they. I still think that even with 10 cards, it's still cheaper per card now than it was with Wizards, because I remember going to the usual store and they'd be like ten bucks a pop, and then now here in Canada they're like average, I think, $7 or $8. Like,
well, the difference is really it's the supply and demand.
Wizards cards are more expensive too.
Yeah,
or at least they used to be.
Indeed, so. Right. So, FM, thank you very much.
Cool master. Bye.
Yes.
Thank you guys for having me.
No problem.
Yeah, you're welcome. Right. Thank you.
I see you guys.
Bye.
RJ, let's get on right now.
Ring, 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 Funko, Funko.
Oh, no.
RJ, thank you for calling in. How are you?
Thanks for having me.
Hello.
I'm actually pretty crappy right now.
Aww. Let's try to make your night better.
Let's get some elixir for that and do that by telling us your question.
I was just wondering what you guys thought is the reason behind Hikari and fan service and panty shots that are non-existent.
It's because she has a figure that is older than her age. She looks like a teenager, and a lot of
fans. Not really.
Look at her compared to May. She's like skinnier, and she has a...
Her boobs are smaller.
It's all about her skirt. It's what it is.
Ooh. Yeah.
It's all eccentric, different eccentric items. That's what it
Plus
is.
There's too many little horny men on the internet.
There's so much attention on her and Haruka, and like not all that much attention on Kasumi, and definitely not on Musashi, she wears a short
skirt. She doesn't have that cuteness about
Musashi dresses up in bondage gear in one episode.
I mean, does her personality just turn guys off? Is that what's going on there?
There's been a little bit of minor discussion back in the day about, you know, Misty's chest size, as we referred to it back years ago, but there was never really as much attention as there was now with Haruka and now Hikari, aka Dawn.
But she's cooler.
Well, you know, I think people didn't go crazy over Misty either because she was more tomboyish.
Well, actually, one shot is true. One of those shots are actually true because Sunny could actually give you the timestamp. One of the episodes that one of the questionable shots were in there. I mean, it was probably maybe like, I don't know, a 15th of a second, a 24th of a second, maybe like one or two frames, but it's still there.
There's literally hundreds of other anime that are filled with fan service. Like, you're watching the wrong show. Like,
That's the problem. That's the biggest
Pokemon
issue. Because most of these series, you have 26 episodes. Here you can have endless amounts.
It's getting older.
It's mind-boggling.
And maybe that's why there's a little more fan service involved.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's outwardly marketed to
the
younger
age. I have not seen that episode yet.
The producers and creators, I'm pretty sure, know that the average fan is a older, in this a teenage range.
Yeah. Well, teenagers appreciate fan service.
Keep the audience,
but then why don't
the
they improve the storyline to make it a little more serious and not so repetitive and like ripping off things from past series?
Well, we're seeing
the movies have been getting
worse.
Some of
that change it a little bit. Here, like it seems so rehashed in some ways. It's like really predictable. I don't know. It's just
right.
Just remember that we've had a rider change about 60 eps ago, or no, right. 80 eps ago when Battle Frontier started. So the plot lines have gotten much better, in my opinion, than early
AG.
It's sad that we have to wait till the very end of a region to get a good storyline. Like, we have to wait till all their Pokemon are evolved to have good battles. It seems like they're kind of...
They don't, but they do anyway.
Mm. I guess. How much does Ash... Do Ash and Brock need to be?
He should be like a master trainer by now.
It's like, why does Ash lose at all these, like, first-level gyms? So...
Why not? He'll be on his quest for the
world's
greatest.
Well, if he was a master trainer by now, they really wouldn't have any room for him to grow with the anime, so he can't, you know.
Well, he doesn't have to be a master, because, I mean, you could still just walk around and be a really good trainer and not...
Just remember, Ash is not the brightest guy in the world, so even if he masters something, he might just
forget
it.
Even a master trainer.
He's prone to do that, so...
Well, that's
he's
restarting the basis. So even a master trainer...
Yeah, I guess he's starting at a gym with a level 5 beginner Pokemon.
Well, see, now that shouldn't happen. Pikachu should be like level, 10 million or something?
It's just really sad to see Pikachu lose to...
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and then he's not.
It's over 9,000!
And do you guys think Photodial and Cyndaquil will come back?
If anything, you'll get... A Charizard Butterfree or one of those kind of things.
Because they want to focus on the new generation.
Something that was left open.
They don't want to get
in the previous, but stuff that he's done with, like Totodile or any of his other starters, no, they won't come back. Unless they do a flashback up or he goes to Oak's lab for some reason.
There's so few fire types in Sinnoh, though, that it's kind of like, what choice do you have?
Well,
Ponyta?
Regarding like previous Pokemon coming back somewhere in the story, I think with the upcoming 10th movie, the director is actually going to be bringing back some of the old Pokemon. We know Pidgeot's going to be in there for sure, although I'm not sure we can say for sure that is the same one that Ash owned. Although Charizard did make a comeback in movies 2, well, I don't know about 2, but 2 and 3. But I don't know if these will be in somewhat like flashback sequences or more of these are actually going to be coming back in the actual main movie itself, because I'm getting the feeling that movie 10, because of the time change, you know, whatever plots, plot points, something. Anyways, I think they're going to pull something with that, but I'll comment more on that later on. So getting back to the topic on hand, whoever was talking last.
Thank you very much.
Arigato.
Anything else you want to comment on?
Yeah. No, nothing I can think of.
All right, Audrey, thank you for calling in once again.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. I hope your evening gets better and you take care.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Bye. Take care. Bye.
Yeah, she was good.
Right back in 1 minute and 2 seconds right here on Bulbacast. Please don't go away.
Bulba Garden theme song for Bulbacast 15, take 5.
Are you ready, users?
Aye, aye, Archaic.
I can't hear you.
Aye, aye, Archaic.
Oh, who lives in a form that's pretty and green?
Bulba Garden.
Art happy and mellow and not very mean.
Bulba Garden.
If people could have only one careful wish.
Bulba Garden.
Then they would all say that we are smelly fish.
Bulba Garden.
Bulba Garden.
Bulba Garden.
Bulba Garden.
Bulba Garden.
Welcome back to the Bulbacast. That was a very interesting commercial. We're gonna get right along to our movie 10 discussion. It's very exciting. We have a few news and notes here. We're going to go around and we're going to have our cast members do a little discussion, and then we're going to have a little afterthought, and we're going to go right on down the line until we finish here. So the first person I'm going to hand it off to is Inner Liger, since he seems to know a good deal about the situation. So go right ahead, sir.
Hi. As you listeners may have read from various sources on the internet this past few days, it has been revealed that Sarah Brightman will be performing the main theme song for the 10th Pocket Monsters movie, Diamond and Pearl, Dialga vs. Palkia vs. Darkrai. The song is called Be With You, and there's also a male vocalist as well who we currently do not know, but I heard an interesting rumor, which I will discuss later on. But first, for those of you who have not heard the sample that has been posted on her Japanese website, here it is. Enjoy. And that was the clip for Be With You by Sarah Brightman and the currently unnamed male vocalist, which I will now discuss. I read on this website, which I shall not name, that the male vocalist is Chris Thompson. Some of you guys may be wondering, Chris Thompson, who? So to elaborate a little bit on that, for some of us classic rock music fans, he used to be part of Manfred Mann's Earth Band. And for Queen fans, he's also done work with Brian May and also sang with Queen on a couple of occasions. But he's also apparently done work with Sarah Brightman before, back in 1995. I can't quite remember the name of the track, but if I could find out, I'll mention it later on. As for my comments on the song itself, now, be aware that this is not my final subjective thoughts, as this is only a clip, but until the for now with the clip, I think
before the dub.
It's very interesting that the Pocket Monsters movies now have an English song in the original movie itself, being before the dub, exactly, and in English even. So although rumor has it also that this was actually licensed. So it wasn't maybe created specifically for the movie, but I could be wrong. The song itself, I think the feeling that it gives me is that we're going to have to expect a bit of a change in the style of this new movie for several reasons. Because one, most importantly, it's the 10th movie and also the one movie celebrating the 10th anniversary of the franchise. And I think this movie will be somewhat maybe epic, or I don't know how to say it, very different from the past movies. Kind of like in the Harry Potter sense, you know, where we start off all happy with the first two movies, and then it started getting a little bit dark with the third, and then the fourth, and now we've got the fifth one coming out. But yeah, getting back to movie 10.
Now, here's an interesting thing I want to get out here. The single, which will be released on July 11th, a few days before the theatrical release. It'll be the first time since movie 8. If you remember, movie 9, Mamoru Bekimono never had a single release before the OST release. And this will be the first time that this would happen.
Exactly, because I don't know why, but they somewhat intentionally chose not to have a supporting single for movie 9. Which I think might have been a bad decision, because it probably could have helped generate more sales for the movie, but who knows? You know, English songs, like, used specifically for a movie, like, and also because even though the Japanese do love, like, have a huge appreciation for Western music, it's going to be interesting to see if the sales for the single will be remotely comparable to the previous ones, like especially in terms of Oricon chart placing, or if it'll do maybe better or not as good because the English lyrics, right? So I think it's just one of those things we'll just have to wait on and see. I think Sarah Brightman is popular more so in Asia than she is in North America, so maybe that might help. But also, her style of music is, you know, different from what I feel the Japanese usually listen to and what we listen to as well. To summarize what I've been saying about Movie 10 and the previous song, I think the song itself will be indeed a very, very good song and potentially a sign of great things to expect from the movie. And it'll be interesting to know who the male vocalist is, you know, once the full information gets out.
Mm-hmm.
And I myself am looking forward to both the single and the movie.
All right. Sounds pretty good, though. Something to keep our eye on. And, of course, when we get more information, we'll put it out to you through the Bubblecast and our various websites.
Indeed. And now we have the question of the week, which is Satoshi Kun.
Hey guys, this is Satoshi Kun with the question of the week and the answers for the question of the week for last week, which the question of the week was, what will your D or P or D and or P starter be? That kind of rhymed, didn't it? Well, I had many wonderful answers from you guys, and the first one I will read here will be Captain Post. And he said he would choose Chimchar as his starter because, well, it's a fire type. And he's been using fire types since Red and Blue on this spinach green Game Boy. And let's see here, Raylith. He said Chimchar is what he'd be going with. In most games, a good fire type is difficult to find until near the end of the game where they don't matter as much. Blaziken's firefighting, it was great in Red, Silver, and Emerald. And Infernape is looking to be great in DP. It's also a freaking monkey on fire. How can you not pick it? He says. Not my choice, but you know, when put like that, freaking monkey on fire, why not? And we have Jonoichi with Turtwig. He has a reason for being that he always goes for the starter which will take out half of the gym leaders and the Elite Four. With gym leaders like Roar, Crash Awake, and Volcanoe, once he gets Torterra, they'll hopefully be easy sailing. Well, we have Webnet saying Piplup. He has a penguin thing. Penguins are cute. Also, he'd have chosen water types, or he has chosen water types 2 out of 3 times, Torchic being the only exception. Plus, he thinks that the Ice Twist is going to rock later on. He only hopes that it will be good enough to deal with the onslaught of grass Pokemon earlier on in the game, but he should be used to it, having trained Blastoids and Feraligatr to 100. Alright, Bluntosaur says, no contest, Piplup, for 3 reasons. A, it kicks much ass in the anime, he says. Though for a while, he was kind of torn between it and Chimchar since Paul's Chimchar ruled so much. 2, it has the best third Evo out of all 3 starters. Water and Steel seems like a nice combo, and in that preview clip for Movie 10, the other 2, Torterra and Infernape, didn't look all that impressive, he says. And his 3rd reason is that he usually picks Grass or Fire as his starter for the previous generation, so for this one, thought it'd be fun to break tradition. Alright, Steel and Ice Rule says, ever since he heard there were 3 starters, he was thinking about which one he'd choose. At first, he thought he'd choose Piplup because it looks awesome, and when it evolved to Empoleon, it would be part Steel, see his username, Steel and Ice Rule. Then he thought Turtwig looked awesome because, well, it just plain rocks, he says. But then those logic people out there are all like, no, choose Chimchar, because you can't catch another fire type unless except for Ponyta for like the whole game. But he doesn't like Chimchar, so he's going to be forced to go with whichever sounds coolest on April 22nd. I guess that'll work. Alright, Dratini says he's going to choose Turtwig for 1 reason. Nostalgia. Throughout all the generations, he's always chosen the grass starter. Bulbasaur was the first Pokemon he ever saw in the game, so he's chosen grass starter ever since then. Plus, who wouldn't want to have a final evolution with a tree on its back? Grass for him, and he doesn't mean weed. Chosen a mana? Short and sweet. P- Piplup, water starters for the word. And Pikachu Trainer says, Piplup wins for him. Penguins are greater than all things that set foot or don't on the Earth's surface, or don't, ever. Plus, it evolves into an armored penguin. Eh, eliteness refined, he says, with 2 threes in places of ease. Go figure. Alright, and now that brings us to the question of the week for next week. And this week, or this week's question I'm giving you, is going to be a choice of two questions, either or, not both. Sorry. So let's see here. First question would be, if you could have a single Pokemon in real life, which one would you have, and what would you do with it? And the second question of the week is, if you could have an animated guest role in the Pokemon anime series, what kind of role would you like your animated self to perform there? Please keep them PG rated, please. I don't want the fangirls saying, oh, I'd love to date Ash and... Okay, we're not going to go any further than that. But yeah, and I can't wait to see your replies in the threads, in the Bulbicast Question of the Week thread, and I can't wait to read them on the air next week. Can't wait to hear from you guys. Bye.
And thanks, Satoshi, for that question of the week.
You're welcome.
Go. Okay.
Nerf.
Okay. And now our last call of the night will be Blonosaur. Let's get him in right now. Hello, Blonosaur. Welcome to Bulbicast, episode number 15 of season 2.
Hey, Blunt. How's it going?
Hello.
Hey, Blundasaur.
Hi. How are you, sir?
Not too shabby.
Good to hear. What would you like to ask us this week?
Okay, starting it off. The U.S. promotion of Diamond and Pearl. I've been getting mixed signals from all the news reports I've been reading on Pokemon Palace and on a couple other sites. Pokemon Palace said that they were pretty serious about a huge-time promotion and reviving the franchise. Well, with that convention they went to up in California, but I read on PocketMonsters.net that they did almost nothing to promote the actual game itself.
Well, the thing is, though, those are opinions.
Could have really done a good job, and someone didn't think they did as good of a job as they thought they should have, and would have instantly said, ooh, Narf, they didn't do a good job.
Presence at a convention, especially for, you know, gaming companies like Nintendo / Pokemon USA, it's pretty standard. They have to make themselves present at most conventions because that's where their mainstream fans are. Now, that is very different than direct promotion of a new release, game franchise.
Indeed. I wonder how their presence is going to be at the launch party. Because
we won't know until we see it.
Yes, exactly.
But see, the launch party is the day of the release. Okay? To promote a product, a release, any item, doesn't matter. You have to do it months in advance and build.
Of course, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
They did not.
They don't. Yeah, they did it like 2 months in advance.
Do you think Nintendo and Pokemon USA really are serious about reviving the franchise?
You know, I'm really wondering if they have something really, really huge planned post-release, and they've been really trying to keep mum about this because of that. But I'm also nervous
that,
that they're not going to do anything.
In other game releases, Ranger, for example, the previous generations, almost all of them, pre-release information was everywhere. They were very forthcoming with data, with game information, imagery.
Not only mentioned the special for Mystery Dungeon.
You also have to remember that the Japanese release of Diamond and Pearl was kept very secret, well, not secretive, but people weren't getting the cartridges until, like the day or day before. It was really odd compared to
fourth generation release. Almost no information was let out anywhere.
You're right.
I mean, Japanese, we got a very, very, very slow drizzle. Granted, it was more than what the USA and English information was. In general, there was almost no information until last minute. Now, that's a marked change from their previous behavior. Pokemon USA, Nintendo, is very forthcoming with the games. They did a lot of in-store promotion, you know, big posters, them stand-up things like SDGY's Pikachu.
You know, Conan is speaking of that on an interesting side note. One of the managers at the GameStop told me that down at the Collins Hill branch where I'm picking up my copy, they got 128 pre-orders so far.
Ooh. Ooh.
Well, and that's without advertising.
Yeah, well.
You know what I'm wondering is if they decided that their previous marketing ploys weren't doing as well as, say, spending less money on advertising and possibly doing something later on down the line,
well,
which
do
we don't know if that's
that
going to happen.
The fan sites are doing their advertising for them.
Speaking of which,
point.
If the companies are serious about reviving the franchise, what do you think they've got planned?
I would like to see some tours
events.
Again with the special, you know, downloads and whatnot.
Pikachu
and
car.
They probably will. I bet you they will. Because
with Diamond and Pearl, with the various unobtainables right now, they have a lot of room to operate with that. There's all kinds of stuff they can do to, you know.
They could do similar to what they did with the Journey Across America.
No, it'd have to be a lot more concise than that. I mean,
it's going to be more organized, more locations, and a whole lot more.
Or perhaps an appearance at Anime Next, which I...
Well, there probably will be a Wii tie-in because, you know, your game's connected to the Wii.
You got to have a Wii tie-in.
Yada, yada, yada. You download something on the
Wii. Movie damn well better get a U.S. theatrical release.
We're going to the theater and see that thing together.
No. Movie 10 will not be able to receive it because, simply because it will not be popular enough to
slate it. Speculating.
We won't see anything like that where they, you know, in Japan they did the theater thing where you bring your DS and it automatically downloaded.
Yeah, I know.
We're hoping just, you know, that they are able to revive the brand enough so that we just at least get a theater release. We're not looking for extras.
Yeah,
we
they would have to pay licensing fees to the movie theaters, and I do not think they have that money.
No, I don't think it's going to happen either. But you might see a kiosk in popular game stores.
It's just like they did on Blockbuster. Just like they did on Blockbuster a few years back. Remember with Snap and Stadium?
Yeah.
Maybe
something like
that.
You might see, like we said, an expanded tour or two to get the unlockables.
Or perhaps the conventions, who knows?
They do that anyways at conventions and various other industry activity. But I'm talking about special Pokemon only. You know, pack everything up in a trailer somewhere or a motorhome and go on tour.
It's like the Wheel of Fortune bus. No, it's not.
It's better because it says Pikachu on it. But, you know, the whole point is they're not really doing a lot overtly right now, but there's always the possibility that they will.
We do not know what they're thinking. I mean, they can just go completely into left field and then just pull something out of their hat. We don't know.
Yeah.
So we just have to wait and see what happens.
We can only hope.
Indeed.
Got another one, Blood?
Okay, moving on. Question number two. And this is a game-relating question, since Kuroka-chan's been bugging me to ask one.
All right.
Why is the Elite Four so hard in every game?
Because they're the Elite Four.
I'm just hoping the Elite Four and Diamond and Pearl don't give me too much of a headache.
I hope they're challenging enough that most people can't do it on the first attempt.
Right. Blue and Red, you know, they actually had all these hard puzzles in them, and they were...
Yeah, you had to go back a couple of times to finish the dang game, and that was pretty cool.
Yes, you know, a game is supposed to have a, you know, replay value in multiple hours if you're playing an RPG, not just, ooh, hey, it's so easy.
I don't want to trump through cities and just beat every gym leader and get to the end of the game and be done in like...
Yeah, Narf's not right.
I hope that answers your question, Blunt.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it sort of does. Moving on to the third. Oh, I'm coming out of the woodwork tonight. It's a week before the release. And I don't know about the rest of you, but the waiting is driving me nuts.
It's driving a lot of people nuts.
So how have you guys been keeping yourselves occupied while waiting?
Anime.
Since I'm not interested in the games, I have other things to think about.
There's ways to keep ourselves busy so that our mind's not consistently on Diamond and Pearl.
All right. Anything else?
Well, yeah, one last thing. No, but before I go, I'd like to close with my with my tried and true Wobbuffet impression.
All right.
Wobbuffet!
Good night, sir. Don't let the crabby bites.
Night, sir.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
No problem.
Bye.
Adios. Ta-ta, boy.
Blunt's always a trippy call.
And now, I would like to give some closing thoughts. First of all, I'd like to thank everybody for joining us for Robocast episode number 15 of season 2. It's great that you're still listening in after all these weeks. And just as a reminder, please, we need more people to call in because we've had the same people call again for the last 15 shows or so. So please.
Yeah, we'd like some diversity.
Mm-hmm. Indeed,
we
want to
hear from you guys out there.
Yes.
Indeed.
We make this show for you, so be a part of it.
Yeah. We know forum. Some of you guys are shy out there, but remember, we're all friends, and we would love to have you. You know,
on by.
Just come. We'll make you feel
don't
comfortable.
Don't got a question. Don't worry. That's fine. Make your opinion known.
Exactly. And remember, there's places you can post on the Bulba Garden forum, of course. Mm-hmm. In the Bulbacast section, there is a Bulbacast section, of course.
Yes, the switchboard.
Yes, indeed, the switchboard. And there, if you have any questions, if you want to know how you can get on to Bulbacast, or if you have any comments to make in the Bulbacast and you want your voice heard, do not hesitate in posting, because we want everybody to have their voice heard, and that's what drives this show.
We love whatever you guys.
Yes, indeed, so. And do post on the forums. Please do get yourself involved with Bulbacast, because that's how we roll around here, and we want you there.
And I want to thank everyone who posts each week for the question of the week. I love you guys, and I would love to get a couple of you guys in on the cast. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of you are actually a little too shy to call in, but as I said, we're all friends here. No, we don't bite. We're actually really fun, and you probably have a good time. So, come on.
I'm sure you will.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And just a reminder, please go to the places that we tell you to go to, PokemonPalace.net, PocketMonsters.net, BulbaGarden.net, IRC. This server is IRC.PocketMonsters.net. The channels are Pound Bulbacast, Pound BulbaGarden, and Pound Pocket Monsters for your anime-related needs. I would like to say that thank you for joining us here on Bulbacast. I would like to thank PPN Steve, Sathishkun, Dratini927, Inner Liger, Kasumi, Misty, and our call-ins, Bluntosaur, RG, and Full Master. And this is TSS Killer reminding you to keep your pigeons safely flying and keep your monsters in your pocket. Good night, everybody.
Stay near to your Pikachu.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.